SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Another SBS Pop Asia podcast. It's The Anime Show with Joey and Aki.
Welcome back to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki. I'm your host, Joey.
And I'm your co-host, Aki. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the 9 most successful otaku markets of 2017.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to rate, comment, subscribe, and share it with all of your friends.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody!
And a Happy New Year!
If you're listening to this late, then I hope you are enjoying your Christmas. What are we planning to do for Christmas this year?
Opening presents?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, are we gonna have, like, a party or something? Or, like...
I'm having a party on the 20th.
Anyway, we just came back from the final anime con of this year for us, which is Chicago Con Alt Elite. And how did you enjoy that?
I actually really liked it a lot. It's nice to go to one of these like more smaller cons. It's not too overwhelming for us, but I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. Like, I think it was good because like we got to actually like hang out with like our YouTuber like friends who we never get to see. Like, geez, when was the last time we met up with Misty?
I think that was in Texas.
Was it Texas?
Yeah, it was Texas. I guarantee you, it was Texas.
Dude, that was like April.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we all seen each other.
Yeah, and that, I think that was the last time we saw like Doom and Vash.
April?
And...
Are you sure? Because like, wait.
Oh, no, we saw him at AX.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
But I thought that Anime Matsuri happened after for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Anime Matsuri was April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, we went to Chicago Con Alt Elite. We'd never been to Chicago before, so it was the first time for the both of us. I really liked the con because it was, like, a really, really small convention. I think there was, like, 3,000, 2,000 people, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was all inside of a hotel, which is the first, like, kind of convention I'd ever seen. It's, like, everything, like, all the panels and, like, the signings and whatnot were in this, like, one hotel at the Hyatt in, like, close to O'Hara. Airport. Is that how you pronounce it? O'Hara? Or is it O'Hare?
I said O'Hare.
I think it's O'Hara, from what I heard. Anyway, Chicago Airport. and yeah, we got to hang out with Misty, Gaijin Goomba, Rivash, Doom. You met Sonya for the first time.
I think we both did.
No, I met her at AX very briefly.
Mm.
Yeah, during my signing. But yeah, we got to hang out and, Holden as well. Holden Reviews was there. So yeah, it was a very fulfilling, it was a nice way to end the very excruciatingly long con year that was this year, because I think I actually counted it yesterday, I think this con, the Chicago con, was my 8th con this year, 7th,
okay.
7th or 8th con, something like that. So, yeah, very long.
So let's get into the topic for today.
So the topic we're going to be talking about today is this article that I found at Go Boyana. Thank you, Go Boyana, as always. You my boys. Which I thought was really interesting and we could like kind of share our experiences about.
Yeah, sure.
And it's the title is, Here Are the 9 Most Successful Otaku Markets of 2017. So it says, every January, the Yano Research Institute releases a report on otaku markets. The reports highlight the financial health of various subsections that intersect with anime and gaming. So basically it's the 9 things that gave the like anime otaku like industry the most amount of money.
Yeah, so this is extending beyond anime, just so you guys know.
Yeah, so it's not just anime.
See, that's why I like to call my channel like more than an anime channel. It's more otaku channel based.
Right.
Because there's so many different things that I'll talk about. Mm. Because it's like one thing kind of leads to another. Like anime just for some reasons is sort of like this middle ground of
you
like...
You can't really like avoid talking about other otaku stuff when you talk about anime?
I think it's just because, like, anime is part of, like, a specific Asian culture being Japan.
Right.
And then, like, other Asian cultures just kind of make their way in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's kind of unavoidable for, like, especially, like, people like you and me who talk about anime, like, especially in more of, like, a generalized standpoint rather than, like, just talking about one series. I mean, we do those videos as well, but anyway. So, yeah, so we're gonna list off, I guess, the top nine, because we have nine here, and basically, like, give our insight of as to how much, at least us two, were able to, cooperate, or, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, to add on to that market. So, number one, which I thought is surprising yet not surprising, is Idols. It made 210 billion yen, or $1.8 billion, up 12.3% from last year.
That doesn't really surprise me at all. I'm pretty sure it doesn't surprise you either. I mean, like, in multiple parts of, like, well, just basic marketing of entertainment, you know, celebrities, they are just big money makers. And then in idol culture, you've got, I mean, I'm not even talking about Love Live. I'm talking about AKB48 all the way up to K-pop, even maybe some individual artists specific to those Asian cultures that we may have never even heard of. Because I know China has quite a few, and I have never, I've never really dwelled into any Chinese idols in my life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I feel this year as well, like, more people were obviously talking about, I mean, you know, of course, like, as you said, like, the whole Love Life thing, but also, like, I don't know about you, but isn't this year that more and more people are talking about K-pop? And, like, K-pop idols? Because, like, I had heard of K-pop idols, like, last year, but
I mean,
nobody's been talking about it as much as this year.
I mean, another YouTuber said is that, like, K-pop, it's nothing new, it hasn't, it's been around for so long. However, I think just the growth of BTS has just really boomed.
God.
And then also, like, Gangnam Style kind of opened up a bigger door to those who may have never heard it before.
Dude, it's gone to the point where, like, I don't remember if I talked about this in a past podcast, but, like, it's gone to a point where, like, I try to make, like, a behind-the-scenes video for, like, a skit that I did. And so, like, I linked it in the description being, like, here's the behind-the-scenes or the BTS. And then right. People are like, oh my god, Joey likes BTS! I'm like, no.
I mean, whatevs, bro. Like, I remember I put up a video, like, playing with some anime filters on, like, the Line app.
Yeah.
And one of the filters was, like, one of the band members calls you. And then,
what?
Yeah, one of the filters, it makes it seem like one of the band members of BTS calls you. Mm. And then his name's, I can't remember, Jae-hae. No, not Sangwoo. That's a completely different thing. But no, I had that up, and then all I said was, who the hell are you? And then all the BTS fans in the comment section being like, oh, you hurt me. But okay, to be fair though, I was just joking because I actually knew that was from BTS. But I have no idea who he is. I just know that the only reason they'd have this Korean pop star online, I'm like, everyone's talking about BTS. If it's anything other than BTS, then I don't know what they were thinking. Also, because like it was in this like little group of boys that I kept seeing, so I'm like, this is probably a guy from BTS. Why don't I just mess with the fans and act like I have no idea who the hell he is?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like, I know so many of my YouTube friends and even non-YouTuber friends who like got into K-pop this year.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is though.
Like, I mean, it's just a rising boom. Like people are just learning now why people love it so much, and also, I mean, it's just this genre from Asia that we can finally kind of integrate.
What's our personal standpoint on K-pop?
I mean, my personal standpoint is I actually can appreciate a good K-pop song. I have quite a few. My favorite is FX. I mean, I know that's a little bit more like old school and classic, and really not that extravagant for those of
She's
you that
such
are
a retro fan.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking to all of like the really hardcore K-pop fans. I apologize. I haven't really dwelled too much into it, but it's just that one thing again that like being an otaku, it just puts it in front of you, and you just can't help but like dwell into it a bit. So I can personally appreciate a good K-pop song. As far as BTS goes, I've listened to a couple of songs. I mean, I could be just speaking just because I'm a little bit older, but I don't
sure
know.
Are you sure we want to step into that landmine right there?
Nah, like, whatever. I mean, I'll just be honest. Right now, all I'm going to say is maybe it's going to take some time to grow on me. I've heard a couple of songs already, and I haven't gotten hooked yet. But, I mean, there's so many people that seem to love it, so I'm just going to wait it out. In the meantime, I'm still looking at idol culture in Japan.
Yeah.
I just went the opposite way on that.
Number two being Dojinshi, $720 million.
I'm surprised that that's number two.
That is
number
two.
It doesn't surprise me it's in top 10, but number two next to idols is Dojinshi.
And you know what's interesting is that compared to the last couple of years, the attendance at Comic-Con has actually been dropping.
Huh, interesting.
And yet it's still number two. Like, okay, for those of you who don't know, Comic-Con, which is short for Comic Market, is basically the biggest anime convention in the world. It's in Japan. It's held twice a year, Summer Comic-Con and Winter Comic-Con. I think Winter Comic-Con is like next week. But basically, unlike most like Western like anime conventions, the Comic-Con, Japanese anime conventions, is mostly just a place where doujin artists come and like sell their doujin. So like, think of it as the entire convention is just like a one massive dealer's hall. Like, that's basically Comic-Con. It's a dealer hall with like hundreds and thousands of like individual artists and like writers who are trying to sell their doujins.
Yeah.
Because there's a common misconception that like all doujins are sexual, which is not the case at all. Like, doujins can just be like fanfics or like, you know, like or like parodies of like already existing shows and whatnot.
Right.
So that's basically Comic-Con. So yeah, it's interesting to see that like doujins are up 2.8%, even though less and less people have been going to Comic-Con recently. Like, apparently, Summer Comic-Con is always massive, but, like, Winter Comic-Con these last 2 years, have like, the attendance has been, like, dropping for some reason.
Is it dramatic, or...?
It's not dramatic, but it's, like, it's noticeable.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's really interesting. I mean, you know, I also bought a bunch of doujins, not at Comic-Con, even though I'd love to go to Comic-Con.
Maybe it's maybe it's because people anticipate that it's actually gonna get bigger.
Maybe?
And then the opposite happens where everyone thinks that, and then it's just, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Although, I think it is as well that, like, this year there were, like, a lot of, like, series that, like, really sparked a bunch of doujins to be made. Like, how many Eromanga Sensei doujins were there?
I mean, I didn't check, but I wouldn't be surprised if it has its own section. Or
yeah,
own
it
floor.
Easily has its own section. It has its own floor, from what I saw. So, yeah, that's interesting. Number three, which we're going to skip over because it is sexual. But number four is cosplay.
Okay.
$308.4 million, but down 7.9%. It says, the cosplay industry suffered the sharpest decline despite the growing popularity of cosplay events and Halloween. They believe the field has become more competitive, which has forced storefronts to lower their prices for pre-made costumes, items, and handicraft items.
So, wait, what does that mean then? Like,
so basically, they think the reason why cosplay is still massive, but they think the reason why it's taken the biggest dive in terms of growth is because, not because the number of people cosplaying has decreased. If anything, the number of people who cosplay has increased.
Yeah.
But because it's increased, the like sale, like or the price for each like cosplay item has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it hasn't like quite rounded up. Like,
okay,
there hasn't been enough people to level the price down of certain like cosplay items. What do you think about that concerning your former cosplayer?
I mean, yeah, my story's a little bit different why I left the cosplay community. One of the biggest reasons is just because YouTube came in, so I just didn't have any time.
Right.
But I don't know. I really can't say why cosplay is sort of going down. I mean, I would say mainly because it reached its peak already. It's kind of like what we were talking about with like other things, like such as like YouTubers. I think cosplay really reached its peak about like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's when I guess like all of these professional cosplayers started coming into light. And I'm talking more than just like Jessica Nigri, but there's also like Yaya Han, there's also Miss Habit. Like, I know a whole bunch of people. And right now, it's more so, and also we had a TV show dedicated to all that stuff. So yeah, but right now cosplay is just more of like, even though it's going down, it certainly will never die. Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like,
as long as there are like TV shows that people enjoy, or like franchises that people enjoy?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, as long as entertainment exists, there will be someone to dress up as it. So,
exactly.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say that... When people say decline, people often think that it's a continuous thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think it's like... You will reach your peak, and eventually you do have to kind of, like, just stay, like, neutral for a really long time. Like,
right,
you'll come down. So, I mean, you can't always be going up. So, I mean, cosplay, it's still bigger than ever. It still has grown, like, in comparison to, like, 10 years ago, yeah. Like, so many cosplayers are just all over the place.
Mm.
But personally for me also, I mean, I haven't... Maybe it's just because I've been outside the loop, but I don't really hear anything about, like, the cosplay community at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, though, do tend to keep it, like, very, very private.
Yeah, maybe.
Or either that, or, like, there aren't, like, a lot of stories of, like, people becoming friends with other people and then them turning out to be, like, terrible people. Like, I think cosplayers can kind of just figure out, even before they've met someone, if they know... Like, they probably already know, just from the way they cosplay, that, oh, yeah, I'm probably not going to be friendly with this person. Or, like, I don't want to be friends with this person. Maybe, I mean,
that's just the cosplay community. Just, like, sometimes it can be kind of, like, toxic amongst each other. But
I feel the cosplay community is the used to be what the anime community is like.
I don't know. It's just...
Or
whenever
the anime community used to be...
It can be.
Yeah, what the cosplay community is like. I don't know. I think any, like, small competitive community like that tends to have, like, a lot of, like, toxic people.
I mean, we can, like, honestly say that about, like, anything. Like, take idol culture. Like, I don't know anybody that's in the K-pop or idol industry, but I guarantee you, remember we were watching that one documentary, Tokyo Idols, the first thing I said was, like, man, all these really cute girls in AKB48, I just, you know, at the end of the day, this is competition. I can only imagine what happens behind the scenes in drama, because every little, like, every big thing where there's multiple, I guess, like, people that are doing it, such as, like, I guess in our case, YouTube, or in cosplay, or in idol culture. I mean, just take it, like, even simple things like school. There will always be drama amongst each other. So, I don't know. But yeah, as far as cosplay goes, it's definitely not as, like, hectic as it was at, like, 5 years ago, but it's definitely still bigger, like, bigger than it was 10 years ago. And also, I mean, it's not gonna die. I really doubt it's gonna die.
So let's see. The fifth one is figures, $286.3 million.
That's where you and I fall in.
Yep. PVC collectibles haven't seen much growth despite being carried in more mainstream stories without concrete data. But there is a belief that mass-produced lower-priced figures have turned off hardcore otaku accustomed to high-priced, high-quality goods.
I will kind of agree with that. I mean, there have...
I think we fall into that.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, if we see two figurines, one that's, like, really cheap, but, like, crappily made, versus, like, a really high-quality figurine that's also, like, fairly expensive, we tend to go, like, at least you and me tend to go more towards the highly... Like, the high-quality, high-priced figurines, I feel.
Well, yeah, because figures, I mean, in general, they're already not cheap. And anyone who collects, like, anime figures, I think a lot of us tend to just be very picky.
Well, I think we also understand that, like, it's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, and so is cosplay. I mean, just and when I see something that's, like, mass-produced, such as every Kantai collection...
Yeah.
Like... Because, you know, for example, you see those Kantai collection figures up there?
Yeah.
Each one was only $5 to $8.
Yeah,
and that still blows my mind.
Yeah.
But they still look really good. But yeah, I definitely think that, like, when you mass market something, or if it's, like, all, like, if, I don't know, besides Nendoroids, I feel like a lot of other things, such as the Kantai ones, kind of turns us away. And we're more inclined to just, you know, if I already can spend... I don't know, $80 on this one figure, I'll probably spend, like, $300 on a much better figure.
Yeah, yeah.
In short, we're not very smart with our money. We're not very smart with our money
in the
end.
I mean, you know, like, I've seen people criticizing, like, people being like, oh, why is this guy spending all of his money on, you know, stupid, you know, Japanese figurines and whatnot? Like, it's such a waste of money. And I'm like, well, it's money that we made, so we... kind of can decide where to use it.
It's fandom.
It's a fandom. It's like I can say the same thing about, like, if a guy buys, like, a really, really expensive car, I'm like, why would you buy a really, really expensive car?
And I bet you their rebuttal will be like, hey, at least, like, that one can function and we can ride it around. I mean, it's entitlement. It's the fact that you have it and it's just pretty.
We think of buying, like, a really expensive, high-quality figurine as, like, some... like, really high-class dude would buy, like, a really expensive painting.
Yeah,
it's art. We're paying for the art.
Let's put it this way. We would... our dream, more than getting a new fancy car, is having a life-size figure of our favorite, like, character.
What was it?
What would you do if there was a life-size figure of Shinobu?
Like, I would 100% get it.
But what if it was, like, 10,000, which I wouldn't doubt that would actually be kind of, like, optimistic.
Well, no, like, you were there when I really considered buying that $10,000 Berserk figurine.
You didn't consider it, but you wanted to.
I was like, if I have the room, I would have got it.
Would you have, though?
I would have.
I mean, if we were living together, I would have been like, why?
No, yeah, but then I would have been like, just read Berserk and you'll understand. We need to dedicate a podcast, like, bring on a guest that loves Berserk just as much as me.
Yeah.
And just talk about Berserk. You can talk about this more than I can, because number 6 is Boys Love.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes...
$93 million.
Well, you can still kind of add into that. So, Boys Love Yaoi... I'm not saying Boys Love Yaoi. I'm saying Boys Boys Love is Yaoi.
Yeah.
Essentially, that just means, like... the main market for these is girls. We have, like, this fantasy of just shipping, like, guys with guys because we just think it's cute and adorable, and some of us just also find it kind of, like, erotic in a lot of ways. But yeah, that's a huge market, because I, coming from Fujo stances, well, a lot of the merch for that stuff is super cheap.
Yeah.
And just going to Japan, I mean, how many floors of yaoi, like, they have floors, like, at the very top of
They're kind of, like, hidden away near, like, the top of, like, the upper floors.
Yeah, I forgot what the store is called. It's not AmiAmi, that's a website. It's
Animate?
Animate.
The Ikebukuro Animate?
Yeah. The top of Animate, which is, like, this huge anime merchandise store, the top of it, there's, like, 2 floors dedicated to Boys Love.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is what's written here. It says, Men on Men Love saw a slight decrease, decrease of 0.5%, due to a lack of hyper-popular series like Yuri on Ice and Otsuma Sun that aired in 2016. However, Yano believes, the guys who came up with these numbers, that an increase in published series and lower online prices are responsible for the slight tumble.
That an increase in what?
Yeah, so they believe that the reason why it's a slight decrease from last year, like the amount of money that Boys Love made, is because there are more series.
Oh, yeah.
So, what do you think about that?
I guess so. I mean...
like, usually, like, most people think, oh, there's more yaoi, so there's more to buy. But that wasn't the case with Boys Love.
I mean, I guess it's partially that. I guess when it comes to... you can say it with really any merch. I mean, the doujins or... the Boys Love doujins that tend to do well are of some of the most famous, like, boy-themed anime.
Well,
so,
yeah, like
when
Attack on... Ice, yeah, Sword Art Online, Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Attack on Titan, like, that was ridiculous. I mean, and I think it's just because there's just not enough of those themes.
Right.
I think that would also be a huge factor. Like, you can have, like, you know, hundreds of series come out, but we're still going to pick the ones where it's, like, very, like, boy-based, and there's just not enough to go around. And in comparison to, I guess, with girls, like, how many love lives in Ero Manga Senseis do you see? Probably way too many. So I'd say, like, with Boys Love, I mean, it matches the amount that's available. Like,
yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Number 7 is Eroge's. $140 million.
Do you want to define eroge?
Eroge is basically a game for adults.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can say it. Eric, I saw a bit of a contradiction. Online sales are up, but they weren't enough to offset the falling physical sales. In fact, the Eriga industry has been falling on an average of 9.1% for the past 2 years.
I would say that that is because, well, physical copies aren't really
No one buys physical copies anymore, yeah.
That's probably one big thing. Like, every time I go on the floor that has, like, Eroge games, like, I don't see anybody picking anything up.
No.
Unless, it's mainly just the really, like, older crowd that I've been seeing. But other than that, I mean, you've got Steam and such. So I feel like with Eroge...
But you can't buy Eroge on Steam.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, besides Necopara.
Yeah, but that's the all ages version.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one, I would say availability and demand, because the availability is all physical, but nobody really wants the physicals. They would like digitals.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, there's my two cents.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. Like, every time I go into, like, a Dojin store, there's always, like, also, like, Eroge, like, physical CDs and, like, packages of Eroge. And it's almost always, like, full.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen... The only time, actually, I've ever seen someone buy, like, a physical CD of Eroge was Reina. When she came to visit me in Japan for the first time, and I took her to, like, one of the hentai stores.
Mm.
And she bought, like, three, like, physical, like, Eroge CDs. And I'm like, wow, I think you're the first person I've ever met that actually buys the CDs. And she's like, yeah, that's because I can't get it in America.
Yeah, and the one thing that, like, I really wanted to buy when I was there was, like, the Nursery Rhyme one. The company is called Nursery Rhyme.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's a bit of a weird title.
No, or actually, I think that's the title of the game. But
really?
But the company is called Lump of Sugar.
Nice.
No, but, like, when I showed it to you, because it was only, like, $10, and I was like, dang, I could really buy this right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't. I'm so pissed.
You should have.
Because it was actually the first Eroge I ever found out about.
Really?
And that I really, really liked.
Is
and,
it good?
Huh? I don't know. I never played it. I only know the opening and, like, every song to that game because, like, back on YouTube 2006, somebody uploaded the opening of that, and I was like, oh my gosh, these girls look super cute. And I didn't know what an Eroge game was. I'm like, I'm very confused of what this is, but these girls are really cute. Then I found out the game. Tried to download that, through the Japanese website. But yeah, no, I found the physical copy. I'm like, for nostalgia reasons, I'll buy that. But other than that, I would rather just find something that's online.
Right,
it'd be
right.
Nice if they had translations of everything.
Number 8 is Dating Simulators. 136.6 million. Dating Sims saw growth for the first time in 2 years. The reports say that the genre may have topped out in 2014, but the acceptance of otome games have brought in an increasing amount of female gamers.
Yeah, no, because, like, again, availability, and, you know, Fujos will get our hands on whatever comes out.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's interesting, because, like, I can vouch for this one, because, like, look how many, like, dating sims came out on Steam this year.
Yeah, that says something.
It's, like, an incredible amount. And it's not, like, just new stuff either. Mm. Like, and it's not, like, indie stuff that was made by, like, people here in the West. Like, you know, like, the Clannad visual novel, which was made, like, over 10 years ago, got a Kickstarter, which got funded in less than 24 hours, and then it was, like, number 3 on Steam for the first week that it was out.
Mm.
And that's a 10-year-old game. And a dating sim, basically.
I guess that's just because availability.
Exactly.
I mean, because people are on Steam, and maybe, like, the people that played Clannad back then, you probably had to really try to go find it, for all I know.
I think so, yeah.
And now it's just right there, so people are like, yay, we can finally get it. Or maybe people that already played it just do it for the convenience that it's on Steam.
Either that, or it's like the viewers of the anime were like, oh, I can finally get this in legal ways.
You know what, I think a big part of this comes from the fact that, you know, what we said with Japan, how they're kind of slow on keeping up with things. So with these, like, visual novels and Eroge games and whatever, when you finally take the time to put it in the stuff where the market is, such as Steam, then you will see an increase.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Absolutely.
But if you want to continue to, you know, stocking your store up with physical Eroge games that aren't even translated, good luck with that.
And number 9 is, familiar territory for you, Vocaloids.
That surprises me, actually.
88.1 million, up 4.2%. Virtual Idols saw an uptick in sales thanks to concert events and merchandising.
Okay, I guess it surprises me and not surprises me. So it's not surprising because of how big Vocaloid is.
Mm.
But it's also surprising just because of, like, that is so specific. Like, that actually dominates a market in itself.
Yeah, and it's number 9 as well.
Well, I think it's because also that's one of the... Besides Idols, like, that is like 2D coming to life. Like, that kind of rocked it out. Like, can you imagine if Love Live had like 2D concerts or like 3D concerts?
The moment Love Live has virtual concerts,
yeah,
is the day that Love Life truly dominates the anime industry.
I feel, mate, probably. I mean, Kizuna Eye just got 1 million subscribers.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, by the way.
Congratulations to Kizuna Eye. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but like, no, that's interesting because it's like, I feel like Vocaloids is kind of like, as you said, with like cosplay, like peaked like 4 or 5 years ago.
Probably, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I found Vocaloid like 4 or 5 years ago.
I think, no, well, it's yes and no. I mean, even though Vocaloid has been around for so long, I mean, you see a lot of Western, like, stars also incorporating Vocaloid into their music. Mm-hmm. Like, I have just been seeing just the entertainment industry just really trying to integrate otaku and anime culture and now K-pop in. Mm-hmm. Because, like, now people are seeing, like, underground of all of these people that have been behind the screen that have been talking about this for so long. Now they want to market it. How you feel about that is really kind of up to you, because I can kind of get it from both sides. It's like, my favorite thing that has been underground is finally being noticed by everybody, but I don't like it. So, yeah, I mean, with Vocaloid, also, Miku, I mean, she's such, like, a big thing. Mm. She's kind of that one character you really don't need to know anything about. It's like, yeah, there's all of these songs, but even to an extent, you don't really need to even listen to the songs. You don't need to know anything about Miku to like her. She's just an idol in itself. And then you hear her sing, it's like, oh, cool, that's the thing. It's like Hello Kitty or Supersonico. But
yeah. But have you noticed, though, like, just like one final thing, I guess, before we end the episode, is that we didn't see anime, manga, or light novels in the list?
Anime, I guess so,
like,
yeah.
No, like, manga sales weren't in the top 10, anime sales weren't in the top 10, light novel sales weren't in the top 10.
I guess so, yeah.
And that's usually, like, the first three things people think about when you think of otaku culture.
It's possible that maybe those are in a tier of itself. Maybe it's just
No, I actually checked and it was included, but it didn't make it to the top 10.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's interesting.
Yeah.
I will blame it on streaming.
I feel like that too. But it just proves to, like, it, I think this just proves to show that, like, proves that the thing that's keeping the industry alive is not manga, anime, light novels, like the first things we think about when we think anime or otaku or like any of that kind of stuff.
I feel like I want to make a video on this now.
Well, yeah, I've been planning to make a video on this for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this is just another piece of evidence that shows, that is hopefully going to prove my point that, the industry is really changing. Well, the industry isn't as we think it is, you know?
Yeah. I would say anime, manga, and light novels, it'll still always be there, but there are definitely these things that definitely keep it alive.
Yeah.
Like, there are bigger things more than anime, manga, and light novels. Those three things will not just run the industry, and it's kind of cool how, like, other things just sort of branched out.
Which is interesting, because, like, I thought for sure that manga sales would have been up there. Because it's like, okay, you know, when it comes to, like, anime sales, right? Like, obviously, Japan is, like, the only country that still buys DVDs of anime. Mm. And even Blu-rays of anime. Because the West is already past that point. We're using, you know, online streaming services, right? To get our hands on anime.
Right.
But, like, manga is, like, totally different. There's only one way you can read that, really.
Mm.
Because, like, you don't hear as much about manga streaming services. I don't even know if that's the right terminology for it. But, like, you don't hear about, like, a manga streaming service versus an anime streaming service, right?
Mm.
So it's like, the only other way you can get manga is physical form, because that's what it originally is.
Right.
Right? So it's like, you'd think that that would be up there because you have no other choice.
Mm.
And it's not like manga is dying either. Like, manga is still massive, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's just really interesting to think that, like, that wasn't even in the top 10. Like, to think that Vocaloid is making more money for the industry right now than manga is really bizarre to me. What do you think? That was a really interesting list, and we just wanted to share, like, our opinions on it. What do you think about the list? Let us know your thoughts using our specialized hashtag. What was it, Ianaki?
SBS Anime.
Hashtag SBS Anime over on Twitter. Let us know your thoughts and whatnot. Any questions you'd like to ask, comments you'd like to make. Thank you once again for listening in to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki. If you enjoyed it, make sure to rate, comment, share it with all of your friends. It helps us out a lot. And if you don't know who we are, then we have YouTube, we have Twitter. Tweet at us, watch our videos, support us in any way you can, because we appreciate y'all.
The Anime Show with Joey and Aki, SBS Pop Asia.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.